And I know you can. Find the book of Nehemiah this morning. Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. If you need to look in your table of contents, that's fine. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. But we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 8 and chapter 9 this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 8 and chapter number 9 this morning. I would dare to say that a majority of people in this room have heard about the revival taking place in Kentucky and Tennessee, and it's spreading down now to a college called Samford in Birmingham, Alabama. And we've been hearing news reports and firsthand accounts of what God is doing in those places. I've read some commentators who say that it's just a phony baloney, that it's just something that's made up, that just something that is taking place that is just emotional. Listen, I'm not making a comment one way or another. I'm just praising God that His name is being glorified. Okay? I've not been there, and I'm not going to shoot down anything that is glorifying and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. But the big thing that's been running through my mind is, why there and not here? Is there something special about Kentucky? Something special about Tennessee? I know there's something special about Alabama, but is there something special about those places that makes it more special than Swain County, North Carolina? And I don't believe that it's any different there than it is here. I think the difference is here, in each and every single one of us. But the revival that we all desperately seek in our lives is not just a temporary happening. The revival that we need to seek in our lives should become an everyday experience for the glory of God. But it's got to start with one key thing. It's got to start with obedience to the Word of God. And I want to show you a revival that took place in the Old Testament, in the book of Nehemiah. So if you would, look at chapter number 8 with me this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Now the children of Israel are trying to rebuild Jerusalem after being decimated. And the reason they've been decimated is because they're under judgment from God, and another country has come in and taken over Jerusalem because of their unwillingness to obey God. If you know anything about the Old Testament whatsoever, you see the children of Israel obeying God and being blessed. And then you see a cycle of disobedience and suffering the consequences. And then the children of Israel get right with God and are blessed. And then they disobey God and they suffer the consequences. And it seems to be an endless cycle. And I believe that's what we're dealing with as Americans. As Christians, there's a cycle of blessing when we obey God and do what His Word tells us to do. We surrender ourselves and we experience a revival in our hearts and our lives, but then we go through a cycle of disobedience. So here in Nehemiah has been tasked with the job, the desire to rebuild Jerusalem. But the problem has been that for many years, many decades, the children of Israel have ignored what God has told them to do. And now they're suffering the consequences for that. Matter of fact, it's to the point where they don't even know where the Word of God is anymore. They don't even know where to find it. There's nobody to stand up and speak it. But Ezra shows up on the scene. Let me show you here in Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 1. It says, "And all the people there in Jerusalem All the people in Jerusalem gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe. And this is what they wanted the scribe to do. To bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. They gathered together, don't know specifically what day it was, but they had a burning desire in their hearts to hear God's word. They had a burning desire to hear what God said. Now, they've been familiar with the law. They've had it. The first five books of the Old Testament, as we call it. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're very familiar with those books. Their relatives have told them down through the years about these five books. But they had gotten so far away from the teaching of God that they no longer understood it. And so now they're seeing what God is doing in Jerusalem, and they get woken up inside saying, we've got to know the truth. And so they say, Ezra, would you read to us the word of God? Revival begins when we want to know what God's word says. Revival does not begin on some kind of emotional high. Revival has got to be rooted in the Word of God. It's got to be. Because you know why? The Word of God is written by God Himself. And if you want to know how to live your life, and you want to know how to experience revival, you want to know how to be a husband or a wife or a father or a son or a daughter or a child of God, it's got to be based solely upon what God's Word says, not experience. Amen? So they're desperate and they want to know. Look at the very next verse. And Ezra the priest, he responds to them. And it says, he brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was in the water gate from the morning until midday. Wow. From the morning until midday. You know how long that was? About 6 hours. How many of you could stand to listen to me preach for 6 hours? My kids say, I can't stand to listen to you talk for more than 5 minutes. But here's the key. It wasn't about Ezra. It was about the Word of God. I firmly believe that a revival to take place, it's got to start with us. It's got to take place and start with the Word of God being read again. And I'm not just talking about in here on a Sunday morning. I'm talking about when you go home on a Sunday afternoon. I'm talking about when you wake up tomorrow morning. I'm talking about being read with your children. I'm talking about taking every opportunity you can to read the Word of God. How can we experience revival in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our land, if we don't pay attention to what the Word of God says? So it says that he read several hours. He says they read that before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people went to sleep. If that's what your Bible says, then get rid of it. It says they were attentive unto the book of the law. They wanted to hear it. They had a desire to know what thus saith the Lord. Did you come in here this morning? Did I come in here this morning to hear what thus saith the Lord? Or do we to come in to check a block and say, okay, God, I showed up this morning. All right, God, I dare you to bless me. If we were all honest, we would say, I come in sometimes, Brother Brian, just to be there. Verse number 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And it gives you a whole list of men that were standing there with him. Verse number 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, it doesn't mean that he was more important than all the people. It just means that he was standing up so that everybody could see him. And he stood without amplification. And he stood and he read what it said. And then it says, all the people stood up. Could you imagine standing for 6 hours listening to somebody speak? That'd be a long time. How many of you would have a hard time standing for 6 hours to hear some? And Ezra blessed the Lord. And he says, and blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen. Amen. With lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. As the word of God was being read, it says they stood there with their hands lifted up and their heads bowed, and they said, amen, amen. There was no theatrics. There was no light show. There was no smoke and steam. There was no singing. There was nothing. There was just simply the reading of God's word. See, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. The poems and the stories and the illustrations and all these different things, they're good. But my brothers and sisters, it's got to be the Word of God that makes a difference in our lives. That's why I clearly try to tell you every Sunday morning, if you forget what I say, that's fine. But please, don't forget, thus saith the Lord. Can I get somebody to grunt amen? And then verse number 7, it says that a group of men then took separate groups of people and began to teach. Evidently, there was thousands of them. And so they broke off into different groups, and these men read the word of God. Verse number 8. So they read in the book of in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. See, most of these people had never heard what Ezra and these people were reading, never experienced it. And so these men stood and explained, kind of like I'm trying to do with you this morning, explained what the Word of God was saying. Brothers and sisters, if you go to a place or you listen to a podcast or you watch a television show and the person who is supposedly preaching from the Word of God and they don't even refer to the Word of God and they call themselves a preacher, turn them off. The preaching has got to come from God's Word, not my experiences. It's got to be, thus saith the Lord. It's got to be. And Nehemiah, verse number 9, it says, which is the Tirshath and Ezra, the priest of that scribe, and the Levites taught the people and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, don't weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why did they weep? Why did the reading of the Word of God cause them to suddenly weep? You know why? Because they realized what state of spirituality they really were. If all I do is get up here and give you roses and candy and tell you, oh, you're so sweet. Oh, it's okay, innocent little boy and girl. You can live like you want to live, and you can believe what you want to believe. It's okay. I expect you to get up those doors and leave. If I'm going to give you the whole counsel of the Word of God, we've got to realize we've got to deal with the problem. That problem is sin. And God gives a clear distinction how to deal with sin. You've got to get clearance, forgiveness, cleansing from God Almighty for the sin that we're actively involved in. And then when you get it cleared and you get it forgiven and you get restored back to what God intends you to do, then He says, walk in me. Listen to the teaching of my word. Get involved. Get to one another and rub off one another and grow in me. Revival doesn't just happen on a day. Revival is illustrated by every single day that we live then. So Ezra and Nehemiah say, listen, don't weep right now. Rejoice because you're hearing the Word of God, because there is hope in the Word of God. It's not all condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you have Christ Jesus as your Savior, guess what? You're not condemned. You have freedom. You have salvation. You have eternal life. Yes, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you hear it from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit says, hey, get right with me. Yes, there's a time of weeping. Yes, there's a time of feeling wrong and feeling sorry and asking God to forgive you. But then you can stand up and realize, guess what? I'm cleansed. I can live for Jesus now. That's revival. You can't stay low all the time. You can't stay high all the time. You've got to find a middle ground and just walk with the Lord Jesus every day. That's what He intends. So they read the Word of God, and when they hear the Word of God, they respond to the Word of God. Let me ask you, are you responding to the Word of God now in your life? Or do you simply want me to shut up so you can go home? Did I hear an amen? No. All right, look what happens now. It says, don't weep. Don't weep, he says. Verse number 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Take care of each other, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared unto them. May I tell you, the words that are declared unto you is this: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is salvation by no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is deliverance in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Live like Jesus is alive. Brothers and sisters, stop ignoring Jesus Christ. Let Him live in you and through you. In chapter number 9, you see that the continuance of what takes place. You see in chapter number 9 that as the Word of God is read, the people begin to weep again. And the reason because they begin to weep again is this: they realize that they're in a mess. They realize that they have to repent. They realize that they need to get right with God because the Word of God tells them that. May I tell you, the Bible also says, the wages of sin is death. The payment of sin is death. May I tell you that? If you are in sin, you have no thing to look forward to but death. But I'm glad it doesn't end there. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're walking and living in sin today, whatever that sin may be, and I could rattle off a whole bunch of different sins, and you could probably say, yeah, that's me. No, not that one. Well, yeah, that one's me. You could probably do that, as I could do that. If that's where you are right now, repent. Turn back to Lord God. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to live that way. You don't intend for me to live that way. Oh, God, help me. That's what the people did. They repented. That means turned away. That means you're going down one path. And when you realize that that path you're going should not be, that you say, God, with your strength and your help, I'm going to turn and I'm going to go back the way I ought to go. I love the story of the prodigal son. He says, Dad, give me everything I got. Come to me. His dad said, here you go. Sure enough, the son goes and spends it all, wastes it. And he gets in that muck and that mud and that pigsty. All his friends are gone. All his money is gone. He's got nothing left but the pigs. And you know what he does? It says he comes to himself and realizes, man, I made a mess of this. I'm going to go apologize to my dad. I'm going to beg just to let me just be a servant again, God. Just that's all I want to be, just to be a servant. I just need to get right. He goes home, and the Bible says his dad is waiting on the porch. And he sees his son coming, and it says that his dad comes running to him and wraps him up and says, oh, my son who was dead is now alive. That's a beautiful picture of what God does to his children. Are you the prodigal this morning? Are you that one who has gone? May I tell you, it's not too late. Come back. I'm glad that God allows U-turns. There's places that you'll get arrested for making a U-turn. But not with God. Come back. When you hear the word of God, it ought to cause you to repent and to do right. And then it ought to cause you to rejoice. Now, we studied this verse in Sunday school this morning, so I want you to turn with me real quick. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. If you don't come to Sunday school class, you're missing out on fellowship, you're missing out on teaching, you're missing out on a whole bunch of different things. I want to encourage you to get yourself attached to a Sunday school class. Amen? I know. Brother Brian, I have a difficult enough time getting up in the morning. So do I. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6. Paul is giving Timothy instructions and direction. Not only on how to live, but what to teach. He says, Timothy, if thou put the brethren, as fellow believers, in remembrance of these things, the things that he's taught, if you'll put them in remembrance of things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you're nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Just remind them, and you'll be doing what I've called you to do. But he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. What's an old wives' fable? Knock on wood. That's not from God. That's an old wives' fable. And many of you practice it. That's not of God. But that's a whole other sermon. Refuse profane and old wives' tables. Teach them not to listen to those things. Instead, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Instead of listening to old wives' tales and profane things, ignore them. Exercise yourself to what God's word clearly teaches. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, we talked about that a little bit this morning. It's good to exercise. It's good to walk and to run and to jog. Go ahead and do it. But don't make that your God. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. What is godliness? It means godly living. having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. Living godly because of the life we have now. You know what the greatest thing about the life we have now is? God is in it. God is with us. The Holy Spirit's living inside of us. That is fantastic. If you're like me, there's times that I deserve God to leave me. There's times that the Holy Spirit should have said, I'm out of here. Don't look at me like you don't know what that's like. But the great thing is, He never leaves us or forsakes us. That's the life we have right now. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. But then He also says, not only what we have right now, He says, what we got in the future. That song we sang, Brother Danny, just over in the glory land. Whew. I can't understand and fully comprehend what it's going to be like over there, but man, I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to live my life just looking forward to that. I want to live my life to enjoy what God has given to me now. So how can revival take place then? It's not about a place. And it's not about one or two or 3 days or a week or a month. It's about walking in Jesus Christ every moment of every day. Realizing that we're going to have bumps and trials and tribulations. Realizing all of that. But the great thing is, you're not alone. You have Jesus Christ to walk with you, and you have fellow believers. That's why Paul said, remind believers about this. Can revival take place in Swain County like it's taking place up there? Of course it can. But I wanted to start here. I don't want a show of emotion. I just want to be what God wants me to be. How about you? And where does it start? By reading and obeying the Word of God. So how about it? Do you want revival? Do you want hope? Do you want peace? Do you want guidance? Do you want direction? Then tune into Oprah. Tune into the Word of God. This is where it's at. And all God's people said. Amen. And those in the balcony. Let's stand together this morning. Miss Shirley, if you'll come. I'm just going to ask you to respond as the Holy Spirit moves you to respond. If you want to come up, come on. If you want to stand there or sit there and pray, go ahead. But I want you to simply obey the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I only do that so that people don't feel embarrassed. But if you want to respond now, come on. We'll love on you and we'll pray with you if you want us to. No shame. No shame up here. Revival will start when we just simply obey God's Word. So I'm going to invite you to come. Come flood the altar this morning. And said, God, let it start in me. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts and our needs. God, my heart breaks for my brother Daniel. My heart breaks for all the other precious saints in this room who have recently had a loved one die. There are some who are still mourning a loved one who has died. There are some who are struggling with addiction. There are some who are struggling with a relationship. There's some who believe that you've left them. There's some that are mourning leaving you. God, there's just some that just need to be encouraged. I'm asking you, Father, that you do that work. I just want to be your mouthpiece. Revive us, Lord. Not so that we can stand up and say, look what happened at Victory. That we can just simply say, look what God is doing. Because you are the only one worthy. There's none but you. Help us, Lord. Please. May we obey your word. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask these things. So let's take the time now. Just do what God put on your heart to do. Just do it.